Mix 106.5.
Oh, wow. Sorry, I was listening to the radio.
No, you're just listening to music. You're like, oh.
I was listening to the post delay. I was like, oh, what a great radio show this is today. Well, hi, everybody. Welcome to your Monday show.
Good morning. Happy Monday.
Big show, man. First day of summer. All Paws Home kicks off today, and we'll get into that. Yeah, Monday, we just check in with the crew, see how the weekend was. Jess, your weekend?
Honestly, it has just been chill because I was sick on Thursday.
Right.
And then I think my body is deciding if it's kind of getting over a day and a half cold or if it's about to ramp up and I'm about to get really sick. So I'm in this limbo.
Yeah.
And I don't know why, because where did it come from? Where is this coming from? It's like nice outside. And I'm trying to go, where did I go?
Summer colds make
literally
no sense.
Nowhere. What have I been doing? Where did I get this? And Garage Boy, of course, not sick. Did you happen to wake up with a sore throat? No.
When's the last time that man was sick? I feel like man,
literally
that man
5 years ago.
Yeah. Like COVID 2020. Did he get COVID one time?
But remember, he got COVID once, but after 2 years of me getting it five times, he somehow ditched it, was able to avoid it. And he hung out with me and never got COVID, got it once, and hasn't been sick since. And I'm like, dude, how?
I'm pretty sure Jess was patient one of COVID.
I got it super quick, got it multiple times. It was nuts.
That man, no, never.
I don't know why.
Charlotte, your weekend?
My weekend was so eventful. Yeah. I feel like whenever you're in New York, you kind of just let New York happen to you.
Yay!
You just have to go with the flow of it.
Guys, I got interviewed by a Swedish reporter for an international publication this weekend.
Amazing.
about the musical that I saw. Because it was
incredible.
A one-weekend only engagement. So, this reporter stops me and she couldn't get tickets. So I was like, no worries, girl. I got you. Give me your number. I'll call you after the show and tell you everything.
Oh my God.
So I'm waiting for the Swedish reporter to text me back. She was like, I'll translate the article for you back to English.
Wait, that's really cool. Wait, that's actually really cool.
So random.
That is so random, but so you.
But so
such a
New York.
Weekend.
Yeah. Anyways, yeah, New York totally. Was so fun.
Fun.
I saw two shows. It was just fun bopping around.
Yeah.
Yay.
You tired now, though?
I'm so tired. I'm literally so tired.
New York would kill you, literally, I swear. Yeah. Man, to me, this week, I went to dinner with a friend, and she did the absolute 101 thing you can't do to a radio friend. At least you guys can tell me if this is a no-no for you guys as well. And I've tried to remember how this came up. I don't remember, but we were talking to the waiter, just having this, and she's a chatty person. All of a sudden, she turns to me, and she goes, Do you listen to the radio?
No.
And I'm like, what are you doing right now?
No.
What are you doing? Why are you doing this? What are you? She goes, well, and he was like, yeah. He's like, do you listen to 106.5? And I'm like, bro, what are you doing right now? Now, in case you aren't a radio person, that may sound like it's kind of flattering, right? But I do you guys hate that as well? Because I never know what to say. What am I supposed to do? Be like, yep, here I am. It's me.
No, literally.
It's me. You're
tell
right.
Tell me why my uncle was doing that when we were all in Vegas.
No.
Anywhere we went.
No.
He's like, this girl, if you're ever in Baltimore, Maryland, you gotta check her show out. This is when we're all blacked out getting tattoos,
no.
Dude, or anywhere we went. And I'm like, Uncle, please.
I'm what are you doing? I'm giving her the look of death. Literally, what are you doing right now? What do I say? I'm like, oh, I just got so nauseous back. I'm like, oh, well, now I gotta tip 50% because what am I supposed to do?
That's so true.
And of course, the guy didn't listen. So it's even more embarrassing. I'm not sure if it's worse if they do listen, if they don't listen, because
imagine doing that for any other profession, to be like, do you go to the doctor?
Yeah.
Have you ever been to Mr. Doctor?
Have you ever had a rash before?
No, literally.
Hold on. The waiter has to be nice. It's like, no.
No, that's true. No one does that. No one does that for any other profession.
Exactly. I'm sweating right now. I'm sweating it so bad.
Now.
These are the top three trending stories in the city.
The Baltimore top three. With Jess. Number three.
This was really cute to see. Barry names Baltimore neighborhoods. 9 sea turtles were returned to the ocean over the weekend, marking another successful rescue and rehabilitation season for the National Aquarium. The National Aquarium Animal Rescue Team were joined by hundreds of spectators as they gave the turtles their send-off from the 40th Street Beach Access in Ocean City. A bunch of people were there and cheering them on as the turtles were making their way back to the ocean. And the public actually helped name the turtles in honor of Baltimore neighborhoods during a naming contest last fall.
Number two.
Ranch dressing has apparently become such a hit with international World Cup visitors that travelers have been trying to bring bottles home in their carry-on bags, prompting reminders from TSA about liquid limits. So much so that now Kraft has created a travel-friendly pack of TSA-compliant ranch packets that would let fans take their newfound favorite condiment home without running into issues at airport security. Just to kind of keep you updated with the World Cup right now, the U.S. is sitting atop Group D with 6 points, has already advanced to the knockout round, has locked up first-place wins over Paraguay and Australia, and their next matchup is Thursday night at 10 p.m. against Turkey.
Is that what we're known for? Is...
Well, have you guys been following all of, like, the fun stuff as far as all of, like, everyone that's been traveling to the U.S. for the World Cup of what everyone is enjoying so far?
No.
It's like...
It's really funny.
It's really funny. Yeah. It's like all of our fast food. It's ranch.
Well, I'm sure it has to be.
You know what I'm saying? But I guess a lot of people are like, yo, where...
It seems so crazy.
You know what I mean? Yeah, so, honestly, Kraft, like, that was good on you guys. Smart. Good on you guys.
Number one.
Olivia Rodrigo scored her third Billboard 200 number one album as You Seem Pretty Sad for a Girl So in Love debuted in the top spot. Now, this is equivalent to 485,000 album units. That's the biggest week of her career and the largest debut by a solo artist this year. She previously held the top spot with her album Sour and Guts and is continuing her streak of chart-topping records, so much so that her album has replaced Drake's Iceman at number one after its four-week run at the top of the chart.
Oh, God. Now we're going to get, like, a Drake diss album against Olivia Rodrigo. We got to deal with all summer.
That would be so funny.
Literally, get out of here.
No, good for her, man. I mean, I haven't heard the album yet, but...
It's all I'm listening to right now. It is just, it's so incredible, and I'm so happy for her. Yeah. I'm so happy for her.
How old is she now? Is she even 25 yet?
No. She's like 23.
She was going to say, yeah. Good for her, man.
Like, that's pop awesome. Off Queen. Yeah, cool. This is Jess, and that's your top three on Mix 106.5. Good morning.
Has anybody been in a fight with their partner that got so heated that you actually ended up destroying your house with some type of large, let's just say, construction equipment? We'll call it construction equipment. Yeah, I don't think so. I don't think so. That's going to be a first. Y'all, this might be our craziest story of the year. This is... This is a wild one. Welcome to PA So Cray Cray. This one might take the cake. If you've never done one of these with us before, Jess, what is PA So Cray Cray?
We take some time to chat about our neighbors in Pennsylvania, and it's no, like, beef or anything like that. We love our neighbors in PA. It just so happens that a lot of random, unique... maybe even weird stories tend to come out of that area for some reason.
Yeah.
We wish it was us. We really do.
I know.
But it just happens to be PA.
They get all the good crazy stories up there. I don't know why. I mean, it's just wacky up there. And we just noticed that when we got here. We're like, what is going on? If we just take a look at, I mean, we're here in Maryland, right? And if we look at, like, D.C., we look at Virginia, we look at, I mean, anywhere in the just around here, it's like Pennsylvania always has the wackiest stories, and we don't know why. So once a week, we bring it to your attention. We're like, what's going on up there that makes them like the weirdest neighbors on the block? All right, let's go to Carbon County, Pennsylvania. This man, his name is Eric. He admits he'd been drinking. He got home and he got into an argument with his wife about what? I'm not quite sure. That part doesn't really matter. But during this argument, and he apparently threatened to destroy their home. Now,
which doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't.
Because someone's going to have to clean up that mess.
But let's be honest. We've all been in an argument before where we probably said something that sounded a little ridiculous. You know what I mean? Like, things got escalating. You're like, you know what? Well, I'm going to go destroy our home. Like, what does that even mean? I don't know.
But like, I've never understood when people got in arguments, like the same people who will, like, throw their phone across the room. I'm like, yo, now you got to get a new phone.
What?
Like, what was the purpose of that?
Imagine your partner even said, I'm going to destroy our home. Like, what does that even mean? I'd be like, okay, go destroy our home then. What are you going to do? Well, our guy Eric actually put his money where his mouth was. What did he do? Well, he climbed into a excavator. And he actually started to demolish their home, you guys. I don't know where an excavator came from. Now, if you'll go to, I actually sent you guys the picture. Check your text. And we'll put this at Kramer and Jess on Instagram.
That's
so
too much.
Go look at Kramer and Jess.
Certainly too
Kramer
much.
And Jess on Instagram. Y'all, this man literally started to demolish their home. He literally started to demolish their home. I don't know what could have caused this, but this man literally started to demolish, and this is a nice house.
I can't tell if they were in the middle of construction and it was already on property, or if those guys were there fixing what he broke. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah, but...
Like, it almost looks like he had, like, all of these things, like, it was accessible to him. So he's like, you know, I'm about to hop in this thing anyways.
And just started, like, tearing their house down. I'm like,
goodness.
What? So, luckily, somebody next door heard a fight go down, called 911, and cops showed up, and the police came in and arrested our guy. So he's got multiple charges, including causing a catastrophe and reckless endangerment. So, you know, I don't know. Maybe just don't do that. Usually, I've got a moral to the story, but, like, maybe don't get an excavator and smash your home. Like, that's really the only piece of advice we have at the end of this PA. So, Cray today, okay?
Kramer and Jess.
$1,000. Minute.
Mix 106.5.
Let's go. $1,000 in free gas. And, y'all, it's summer, so, like, it's you and about seven other people trying to play for this gas. I would come back every single day for your chance to win. Call it 10 playing live this morning. Hi, who's this?
This is Kendra.
Kendra, you're number 10.
Happy Monday, Kendra.
Oh my God.
You did it.
That's amazing.
Yeah, congratulations. Have you played before, Kendra?
I have not.
Never. First timer. Let's go.
Welcome to the
Let's
show.
Let's go. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go.
Thank you.
Well, Kendra, you've done maybe one of the easier parts. So you just got to get through these questions now, okay? Well, let's explain the rules to Kendra, guys, and then we're going to go for this. Jess, how do we do it?
Okay, so if you can answer seven trivia questions in 60 seconds, you win a $1,000 Royal Farms gift card. But if you get one wrong, mispronounce one, or take longer than 60 seconds, you are out. But remember, you can pass on the ones you don't know. You just got to say pass, and then we can go back to them only if there's time at the end. Kendra, you ready to play?
Yeah.
Your chance at $1,000 to Royal Farms
starts
now.
Question number one. Spell the word amateur.
Amateur.
Yes.
Pass.
Question number two. Which playwright said, "All the world's a stage"?
Shakespeare?
Correct. Question number three. How much do you have if you had 3/4, 5 dimes, and 2 pennies?
3/4.
5 dimes and 2 pennies.
5 dimes.
Mm-hmm. 2 pennies.
50. $1.25. And how much?
It's 3/4, 5 dimes, 2 pennies.
$1.27.
Correct. Question number three. What is the name of the coffee shop on the show Friends?
Central Park.
Correct. Question number five. What date was the summer solstice this year? The summer solstice is what date?
June
23rd. Wait, your phone broke up. What? Oh, no.
June 23rd.
Correct. Question number six. Actually, that's 60 seconds right there.
No.
Actually, not bad, though.
You got through five for your first try. I think that was pretty awesome, Kendra.
Yeah. All right, let's go back. Let's go back to the top, Kendra, and we'll keep going from there, okay?
So back to number one. Spell the word amateur. That was A-M-A-T-E-U-R.
I can never spell
that
word
right. That's a little
tricky. I know. I can never spell it. E-U-R.
And then you did incredible. Number two you got. Number three you got. Number four.
Yep.
Number five you got.
Yep.
Okay. Number six. Why is the, is that like a pronunciation or is that?
Yeah. That's how you say it. That's how you say it.
So.
That was for us. You're not supposed to say it's Sue. It's Sue.
Oh, no, I just wasn't sure.
So we sound smart, Jessica. Okay. It's phonetically spelled out for us. So
I just
we don't
wasn't
sound
sure.
dumb.
Yeah. The city of Sue, St. Marie, locate. I was like, wait, what is it? Because in my mind, when I read this, I thought you were like, so. Like, I was like, wait, why are you being sassy on number six? Anyway, the city of Sioux, St. Marie, is located in which U.S. state? Do you know that one, Kendra?
What was it? The city?
Honestly, the answer is number
Michigan.
Six is Michigan.
Can we get
Let's
through
just
this
skip
one,
that.
Please? Thank you. Don't worry about that.
Okay, let's see how you would have done on number seven. Which singer released the hit songs Smack That and Lonely?
There you go. All right.
That was pretty awesome, Kendra.
I think we had more phone trouble than anything on this one. Hey, how was it? Was it fun for your first time?
Yeah, it was intense.
It's intense, right? Yeah, I know. It's always a lot more nerve-wracking once you get on the phone. But hey, you get your first one done. That's all good. Next time we call, you'll be like, I know how this goes. It's a lot more, you know, you got one under your belt. That's what matters. So, Kendra, have a great week. We'll see you back here tomorrow. 7 new trivia questions, and we'll try it all over again, okay?
Hey, thank you.
Have a good day, Kendra. The $1,000 Minute is sponsored by Royal Farms. With the ROFO Rewards app, you'll get exclusive deals every day. To join, text ROFO, R-O-F-O, to 43751. Royal Farms, real fresh, real fast.
What's the absolute worst thing that you could give your dad for Father's Day this year? They think they found the answer, and we'll debate here in a couple of seconds. First, what did you guys do for your dad for Father's Day?
I just sent him money. He was on the golf course.
Yo, smart.
For some drinks, and he was having a good time.
I don't think you can go wrong with that. Charlotte, what did you do for your dad?
I was in New York cat sitting still, actually. So we are celebrating on Tuesday, and me and my dad really love cooking together. Mm-hmm. So we're going to cook dinner together.
Smart,
and then
sweet.
I'm just going to make him a card. Because he really loves cards.
I think it's good. My dad just likes to watch TV. He's got like seven TVs at this point, because like every couple of years we just give him another TV, because it's like, what can you do? So we actually ended up making him a video of like answering all these questions about him and like things we love about
That's
him and
really
memories
cute.
That we have. And it was kind of a sentimental gift that we did this year, which he actually ended up really, he doesn't try to act really sweet and like a deep guy, my dad, but
just watching from his control center. It's like each question was answered on a different TV. That's crazy.
That's what it feels like. He's got so many damn TVs in there.
Yeah.
But I think it was a really kind of a sweet thing he enjoyed. Is this the worst Father's Day gift ever? A DNA test. An article came out yesterday on Father's Day talking about, is this the worst possible gift to give your dad? A DNA test. I actually saw an ad for 23andMe yesterday too, that give your dad the gift of a DNA test.
And like, is the implication that you don't know if he's your dad?
Well, that's like kind of the question. Like,
I think this can go multiple ways, to be honest.
So a couple of different news reports were going through this over the weekend too, kind of like the potential risk and rewards of giving, you know, your dad a DNA test, because like, it's not necessarily a paternity test per se, but like, what if something did come out? Like, obviously it's kind of a unique gift to like give your dad, because it's like, that's
23andMe.
Like a 23andMe or any of those, like, you know, ancestry or whatever. Like, it's not something they're going to like buy for themselves. It's, you know, you could get some kind of like family history, but like, what happens if there is something in family tree that like dad doesn't necessarily know about, you know? Like, what if like something comes out that wasn't there? Like, could that potentially be something really bad that dad didn't want to know about? And all of a sudden you're like, surprise, happy Father's Day, this is not one of your kids. Or maybe there's a kid you didn't know about, or, you know, like there's a secret in their family tree that you didn't know about. Would that be really risky, you think, to give a DNA test?
Well, I think that it can be presented as different ways, because I do think that they're a part of this conversation is, it is really cool to learn about where you're from.
True.
And to learn about your culture and your ancestry and like where in the world your family came from, and to really follow that journey, because that's something that like my mom and I did together.
Sure.
And it was interesting. It was just cool to see all these colors. Like, at least I'm just speaking from the experience of 23andMe, is like, all the colors show up on the map of like where your lineage is, and to see all of this light up and to follow that, it's really cool. And then when other members are connected, or if they've also given their DNA and all that kind of stuff, you can see all that, who else is related to you, and learn and reach out. I also think too, like, for example, I know that it's not something that my dad would be interested in, but if he was, I would very much get that for him, because my dad was adopted by my papa.
Okay.
So if I can see, and actually both of my parents were adopted, so by their fathers. So it's kind of cool where it's like, you may not necessarily have or want a relationship with one of your biological parents, but that doesn't mean you don't want to know where you're from and like what that heritage is like. So I think, you know, sometimes if that's something that they want, that's really cool.
But if it's unsolicited,
but
do you
unsolicited,
give it to
them? I think that that's something that, because going into family history can be very, it's like very layered.
Yeah.
So unless that's something somebody genuinely is interested in, I feel like that would be something
kind of
I would shy away from.
Thing.
Yeah. I think you can just like kind of drop that on them. I think DNA tests kind of fall into like gym membership category, which is like, if someone doesn't specifically ask for it, I don't think you can like give that to them.
And they're also very expensive.
Yeah, so I was going to say.
Like, yeah,
like,
unless you're specifically
like $100 or something.
For this.
I don't think you can just drop that on them and expect them to be, oh my God, thank you so much. I can't wait to find out. Like if there's something in there I don't really want to. Well, I mean, if you got one and you enjoyed that, then like that's on you. But I just don't think you should drop that on somebody. Like, oh my God, surprise! DNA test, yay! How old were you for your first kiss?
17.
You were 17?
Yeah, dude. It was like so intense and like it was just so scary. Like he was attacking my face. It was so gross and sloppy and like he clearly didn't know what he was doing. And I remember all I wanted was just a soft, relaxed, chill kiss, like a nice little...
Yeah.
That's all I...
Well, especially you waited so long. Well, should have been. I mean, he should have figured it out by then.
That's all I really was mentally and emotionally prepared
for.
Oh,
yeah, of course.
And it felt like SpongeBob, like, ooh, like crazy scary. You know when his tongue is like all out and he's like trying to figure it out? And I was just like, ew, like, what is this? Why? Why?
Well, that's the end of the segment. Thanks, everybody. Thanks for stopping by today.
So, yeah.
Wow, 17. Wait, how old were you, Charlotte?
18.
18?
Late bloomer, baby.
Wow, was I just super young? I was in fifth grade.
Oh.
Yeah.
Why do you have a tone?
I know, it's just kind of like, what were you doing?
What were you doing? You guys, what were y'all doing?
Coloring?
Yeah, what?
Yeah, like being, I was being a child. Staying a child. Like allowing myself to be a child.
What do you think's more normal, me or you guys?
Us.
Really? You think it was more me or you? Like, is it closer to...
I honestly think the average is more normal, to be honest.
You think somewhere in between the two?
Yeah, I feel like most people were more like 13, 14, 15.
Yeah,
you know?
I feel like a lot of my friends were kissing in middle school. I feel like kissing started for the majority of my friends in middle school like that age. And yeah. I genuinely had no interest. I was very afraid. I didn't want anyone like touching me, looking at me, like holding my hand, freak dancing.
That's so funny, man.
I didn't want to do any of it.
I'd have kissed younger if I could. Yeah, freak dancing. Wow. Today is National Kissing Day, by the way. And I don't know if there is, like, now as an adult, okay, now that we're adults looking back on that, like, do you wish you would have kissed younger? Or, like, do I wish I would have kissed older? Like, I don't know if there is, like, reflections on that. Because I think fifth grade seems right. I mean, I don't...
Ew. Like, just even the thought of, like...
That doesn't seem right to you now?
No, because when I think about Maya, who just became a sixth grader, and if I might...
You don't think she's kissed anybody yet?
And I felt like Maya had her first kiss, like, a couple months ago, I would literally burn something down.
But 17, 18 sounds crazy to me. You know,
I don't regret it.
I'd already made love to a woman at that point.
Okay.
I mean, I'm just being honest to you. Like,
definitely not my journey.
I know. That's what I'm saying. Like,
yeah, that makes me uncomfortable as well. I'm going to be completely honest. Yeah. I just feel like that's so young. At least at that point, like, I knew that I had feelings and I was aware of my feelings for this boy. And like, I'm happy that I was able to acknowledge that. Where in fifth grade, I think you're more so out of like curiosity versus like actual, you know what I'm saying?
So do you wish you would have, like, in hindsight, do you wish you would have kissed somebody younger?
No, because there was no one that I wanted to kiss me.
Until then, like, until SpongeBob.
You get what I'm saying? Like, at that point, I could have waited a little longer, but like, I'm honestly okay with when it happened, because I can't think of anyone else up to that point that I felt comfortable with enough, like, allowing them that close to my face.
Yeah.
So I'm okay with it.
What about you? Like, when, how old were you? Because maybe we should get an average on this for National Kissing Day. How old were you for that first kiss? I don't know if I'm more normal or they're more normal, or maybe we're both abnormal. And that's probably the case, as usual in the show. If you park in a grocery pickup spot and get out of your car, you are an a-hole. I mean, do we agree with that? Can you agree with that, Jess?
Yeah, because you got the rest of the parking lot.
There's so many spots you can park in,
and
right?
And those are usually require like checking codes, and there's only like 4 spots you can pull into.
You understand this,
there's like
right?
a whole process.
Thank you.
You're also like making the employee's life harder.
That's true. Confusing.
My friend wanted to debate this with me this weekend. So she ordered a TV. This is not grocery. This is Best Buy, right? Uh-huh. So she ordered a TV this weekend and she's like, hey, can you help me go pick it up? And I said, sure. So we go pick it up and she pulls right into the pickup spot. And I'm like, wait, what are you doing? Like, and I instantly start to cringe because I get so mad when I go to do a grocery pickup and there's people just parked in that spot. And she's like,
so when you say she went to go to Best Buy to pick up the TV,
right?
She had already ordered it, so she's picking it up, but not necessarily going through their app.
So this
and is allowed
was,
to pick up.
This
you
was
mean?
Her debate, and okay. Tell me if you guys agree with this or not, because I instantly started to get defensive. I got triggered the second we pulled into that spot, and I instantly got triggered. I'm like, wait, what are you doing? I'm such a rule follower on this. I'm not necessarily a rule follower in general. I got so triggered because he was like, well, technically, I did order something off of their website and I'm technically going to go pick it up. So I feel like I should be able to park in this spot.
Those are curbside delivery.
And I was like, no. Now, I will say the parking lot was kind of busy. And she goes, I feel like as someone that did order, I should be able to go in there and go get my stuff. And I was like, that's not how this works. And she got kind of defensive with me. And I was like, that's no.
And
no,
she
no.
wanted to be close because I'm assuming it's like a huge.
And it was. It was a 70-inch TV. And she was like, I mean, we got to go wheel this thing out of here and put it in my car. And I said, no, like, I don't care. Like, you're not parking. I started to get tense because I was like, we can't park here. Like, you can't do this. This is not how this works. Like, I don't know why I got so nervous and panicked, but you can't park here. This is literally breaking the code of the system. This is not how this works. I mean, what is that a loophole of that very sacred spot? Like, I want to keep that whole system sacred because I know how annoying it is when you go to pick up your groceries and there's no spot left. Can that be a loophole? And by the way, if you're one of those people that parks in that spot, F you. Anyway.
Well.
I had to get that out. I could feel myself getting hot over this.
To be honest, because I feel like I've seen this happen. I feel like Best Buy is one of those places, or even Costco. When you're purchasing something huge, I just see people literally pull up in front of the store just so you can like load your car and put it in the back. You know what
right,
I mean?
Yeah.
But I understand for you, you probably wanted the process of her parking in like a regular spot, going in, checking in, and then maybe, would you have felt better if maybe she did that and then she would have asked permission and then parked one of the spots, or even like pulled up in front just for easy access.
There is a system of how that works. And think about how the Best Buy employees must feel. And again, I'm speaking, but like they're trying to do their job too. And if you're taking up one of those spots, that's not how that works. Now, again, I don't work for one of these grocery stores that has this like pickup curbside system.
Because to them, they could probably be like, dude, it's not that
deep.
We
don't care. Right? Like, we don't care. But I'm trying to stand up for those people too. That must be super annoying.
Yeah.
When you've got all these people just parking in those spots, using them willy nilly. I know as a pickup person, now I love picking things up from stores. I love it. I hate having to go into any kind of store ever.
To enter what kind of car you have, the color it is.
Yeah.
So like clearly, you know, there's a process of people needing to look at and look for something.
And you got people just thinking that's like some kind of VIP parking spot up there. That's not what that is.
Yeah.
You did not just get lucky and you're like, oh, there's nobody parked in this spot. I can just run in for a couple of minutes. If you are one of those people too, you can call us and tell us why that's your, like you think that's just a lucky day for you just to run in. Especially if you're one of those people that just thinks, oh, I'm just going to pick up a thing or two. This doesn't matter. I can just go in really quick. Is it a loophole? Is it not, Jessica Dutra? If you bought something online, can you just run in really quick if you're saying, hey, I can just pick this up?
No, because the sign doesn't say run in really quick.
Thank you very much. Charlotte.
No, because think about it like you think about like fast food places. Like it's the mobile delivery. It's not like, oh, I'm going to go in and run in because it's, no.
Love being right. Thank you for that. Feel validated. Thank you.
Got you.
If you park in a grocery pickup spot and get out of your car, you are an a-hole. I mean, do we agree with that? Can you agree with that, Jess?
Yeah,
because
you got the rest of the parking lot.
There's so many spots you can park in,
and
right?
And those are usually require like check-in codes, and there's only like four spots you can pull into.
You understand this,
there's like
right?
a whole process.
Thank you.
You're also like making the employee's life harder.
That's true.
Like,
confusing.
My friend wanted to debate this with me this weekend. So she ordered a TV. This is not grocery. This is Best Buy, right?
Uh-huh.
So she ordered a TV this weekend and she's like, hey, can you help me go pick it up? And I said, sure. So we go pick it up and she pulls right into the pickup spot. And I'm like, wait, what are you doing? Like, and I instantly start to cringe because I get so mad when I go to do a grocery pickup and there's people just parked in that spot. And she's like,
so when you say she went to go to Best Buy to pick up the TV,
right?
She had already ordered it. So she's picking it up, but not necessarily going through their app.
So this
and is allowed
was,
to pick up.
This
you
was
mean?
Her debate. And
okay.
Tell me if you guys agree with this or not, because I instantly started to get defensive. I got triggered the second we pulled into that spot and I instantly got triggered. I'm like, wait, what are you doing? I'm such a rule follower on this. I'm not necessarily a rule follower in general. I got so triggered because he was like, well, technically, I did order something off of their website, and I'm technically going to go pick it up, so I feel like I should be able to park in this spot.
Those are curbside delivery.
And I was like, no. Now, I will say the parking lot was kind of busy. And she goes, I feel like as someone that did order, I should be able to go in there and go get my stuff. And I was like, that's not how this works. And she got kind of defensive with me. And I was like,
she wanted to be close because I'm assuming it's like a huge.
And it was. It was a 70-inch TV. And she was like, I mean, we got to go wheel this thing out of here and put it in my car. And I said, no, like, I don't care. Like, you're not parking. I started to get tense because I was like, we can't park here. Like, you can't do this. This is not how this works. Like, I don't know why I got so nervous and panicked, but you can't park here. This is literally breaking the code of the system. This is not how this works. I mean, what is that, a loophole of that very sacred spot? Like, I want to keep that whole system sacred because I know how annoying it is when you go to pick up your groceries and there's no spot left. Can that be a loophole? And by the way, if you're one of those people that parks in that spot, F you. Anyway,
well,
I had to get that out. I feel myself getting hot over this.
To be honest, because I feel like I've seen this happen. I feel like Best Buy is one of those places, or even Costco. When you're purchasing something huge, I just see people literally pull up in front of the store just so you can like load your car and put it in the back. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I understand for you, you probably wanted the process of her parking in like a regular spot, going in, checking in, and then maybe, would you have felt better if maybe she did that and then she would have asked permission and then parked in one of the spots, or even like pulled up in front just for access?
There is a system of how that works. And I feel, think about how the Best Buy employees must feel. And again, I'm speaking, but like they're trying to do their job too. And if you're taking up one of those spots, that's not how that works. Now, again, I don't work for one of these grocery stores that has this like pickup curbside system.
Because to them, they could probably be like, dude, it's not that
deep. Don't care. Right? Like, we don't care. But I'm trying to stand up for those people too. That must be super annoying.
Yeah.
When you've got all these people just parking in those spots, using them willy-nilly. I know as a pickup person, now I love picking things up from stores. I love it. I hate having to go into any kind of store ever. I hate having
to enter what kind of car you have, the color it is. Yeah. So like clearly, you know, there's a process of people needing to look at and look for something.
And you got people just thinking that's like some kind of VIP parking spot up there. That's not what that is.
Yeah.
You did not just get lucky. And you're like, oh, there's nobody parked in this spot. I can just run in for a couple of minutes. If you are one of those people too, you can call us and tell us why that's your, like you think that's just a lucky day for you just to run in. Especially if you're one of those people that just thinks, oh, I'm just going to pick up a thing or two. This doesn't matter. I can just go in really quick. Is it a loophole? Is it not, Jessica Dutra? If you bought something online, can you just run in really quick if you're saying, hey, I can just pick this up?
No, because the sign doesn't say run in really quick.
Thank you very much. Charlotte.
No, because think about it like you think about like fast food places. Like it's the mobile delivery. It's not like, oh, I'm going to go in and run in because it's, but no.
Love being right. Love being right. Thank you for that. Feel validated. Thank you.
Got you.
You are about to enter the courtroom of Judge Jessica Dutra.
This is Judge Jess.
She found out what he wanted to do for Father's Day and said, no, that's not what we're doing for Father's Day. No, but was she allowed to really do that? Let's decide right now with Judge Jess. If you don't know what this is, Jess is not a real judge. Don't be fooled by this very cheap Halloween costume that we put on.
On camera, it doesn't look cheap, though. That's the thing.
Fix the rope in the back there, Judge.
I guess you can kind of see my hoodie peeking through to my bed. You know, that's my hoodie. Sorry.
That thing's very flammable, I think, Judge.
Sorry.
So be careful. Jess is not a real judge, but what we say is, like, listen, sometimes you do get caught up in a disagreement. You guys can't really see eye to eye on a situation, but it's okay. That's what Jess is here for. She does give pretty good advice sometimes. So if you want to call the voicemail, 855-Kramer-Jess, tell us what's going on, and then Jess will tell you who's right and who's wrong, and hopefully that will help you decide what's up between the two of you, right? Okay.
Hi, my name is Melissa from Baltimore, and I just had a question for Judge Jess. So I'm a mom of two kids. They're 8 and 11, and my husband is a great dad. Father's Day came around. He told me all he wanted to do was spend the morning golfing with his buddies before we did anything as a family, and I told him no, and now he's saying I ruined Father's Day. But my husband golfs all the time already. It's not like this is some special once-a-year opportunity. So when Father's Day came up, he told me he already had a tee time lined up with his friends, and the kids had made cards and were excited to spend the day with him. And I don't think it's unreasonable to expect a dad to be with his family on Father's Day. If this were Mother's Day and I wanted to disappear with my friends, people would call me selfish. He keeps saying it's Father's Day. Shouldn't I decide what I get to do? And my response is that becoming a parent means some days just aren't about you anymore. So he thinks I'm controlling and making Father's Day about what I want. And I think he's making Father's Day about both instead of his children. Mm-hmm. We argued about this literally all day today, and we both just became so stubborn about this. So just, you know, should dads do what they want on Father's Day or spend it with their families? Let me know. Thanks.
Oof. Okay. Wow. Happy Father's Day.
Oh, man.
To you guys. Sounds like that was a fun day. Wow. What, I mean, what are these days supposed to be about?
Isn't it supposed to be about the parent since the rest of the year is not about you? So isn't it kind of like your day?
Are you supposed to spend these parental days with your kids, or are you supposed to run away from your kids? Like, I don't know how this works. I mean, I don't have kids. Jess doesn't have kids, but we'll turn to Judge Jess.
He didn't say I don't want to see my kids at all. He just said I want to see my kids after I play golf.
Yeah,
if you have an early tea time, then he could have had the rest of the afternoon with the family.
Yeah.
But
let's be honest, if he's out there, little drinky drink.
We don't want to assume. We don't know.
I mean,
like, we don't want to assume
do.
Like we know what we he know. Does. You know what I'm saying? All I'm saying is when she was like, if I wanted to go spend Mother's Day with my friends, I would have been like, yeah, girl, because I wouldn't feel comfortable with a dad telling a mom how she gets to celebrate Mother's Day. So I feel like that should be the same respect. Like, shouldn't the mom or dad on their Mother's Day or Father's Day pick how they want to celebrate it?
I mean, I guess it depends. Again, we don't have kids, so it's kind of hard to like decipher some of these things,
because it wasn't zero family time. It was just like later in the schedule.
I don't know exactly how these things work, but
because that's literally what my dad did yesterday.
Well, yeah, but you guys weren't there, and they're not little. They said, she said, what, 8 and 11 or something like that. So I'm trying to think, if you have like little kids, like, should you spend all day with those kids? You know what I mean? Like, should you run away from your family on those days? And
he's
like,
he's not running
away.
But
like, away. He kind of is running away.
No, he's not.
He's kind of running away. So I feel like if you're a good dad,
bro,
should you spend all day with them? Because that's technically like your role. Like, if you're older, no. Like, you can go do what you want. But like, I mean, she kind of does make a point of like, if he was a good dad, wouldn't he want to like be here like doing?
I just,
you know what I mean? Like,
don't say that.
It just seems kind of like this is like what your role is right now. Like, I remember my dad on Father's Day when we were younger would be there all day. We'd make it like a thing out of it, right? It'd be like a big production. I think I'd feel some kind of way if I woke up and I was like, well, where's dad? He's out there, blah, 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 getting drunk on the golf course.
What are you? Like, you're making these assumptions. Like, this guy is sober and you're like, you know what I mean?
I don't know him.
You don't know his life.
Know him.
What if he was only going to do 9 instead of 18?
If he's
like,
running
you have
away
no
from
idea.
His family on Father's
he's
Day,
not.
I don't think he's a very good dad. And that's just
having
my assumption.
A tea time on Father's Day is not running away from your family, bro.
I mean, what do you think? You guys sound off on this. Would good dad stay home on Father's Day? Kayla, what's up? Good morning.
Hi, good morning, guys.
What do you think? I mean, should dads go do what they want on Father's Day, or is it like a day for the family, for the kids, you know?
I'm 100% with Jeff on this one. Like, it literally is in the name Father's Day.
But it's for them to be celebrated, but it's for them to be celebrated.
And
not
he
for
wants
them to
be celebrated at the golf course in the morning and then hang out with his family after the fact.
Do you not see Melissa's point at all of like your kids want to see you on Father's Day and like celebrate you? It's not as like his birthday or something. It's Father's Day, you know?
Okay, let's be real though. What are these kids waking up? Because I know my child, she's a baby. She wakes up at 4 o'clock in the morning. I know my husband wants to be out in the house. In that scenario. But then again, too, like, it's his time to, like, enjoy himself, you know, like, especially having kids. There's not a lot of, like, me time involved.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, when I give my husband his free days, like, truly all he wants to do is do whatever he wants for the day, you know. And then we'll pop in every now and then, but it's not like he's not enjoying quality family time with us either. You know, it's like, he's in his own bubble, we're in our own bubble, and then we kind of combine at a certain time of the day where we're all, like, together and enjoying the time. So, like, I agree with Jess. Like, regardless of everything, like, it is a family thing, but who says it can't be, like, a family thing in the end? And he's not 100% running away. He's just, you know, having those few extra hours of the day to enjoy himself.
Yeah.
You know, with his friends.
Yeah.
And just so you know,
life. Yeah, low key, parents only get two me days a year, their birthday and the Father's Day or Mother's Day. So I think it's okay.
Things, though. I think those are two totally different kind of celebrations. And just so you know, I'd say the same thing about Mother's Day, too. Like, I'd feel the same way if it was like a mom that wanted to go do, you know, have a day to herself.
You talked about how you have needed breaks going to see your niece and nephews.
But that's like, I'm talking like,
and if you're like, if you want to be a good uncle, then why are you running away?
It's not uncle's day.
No, it's not. You literally left and got in the car and didn't tell anyone where you were going and didn't tell anyone when you were coming back.
For like 30 minutes. It's different.
And if anything, you have to travel to go see them and you literally left them.
If it was uncle's day, though, and I left, that would be so weird to me.
But you did leave. That was like your uncle time.
I don't know. It just doesn't make sense to me. All right, y'all. Baltimore, we need your help with this one. And Baltimore is honestly the greatest city in the world when it comes to this kind of thing. But we could seriously use your help stepping it up this year. We are bringing back All Paws Home for 2026. First off, let's clap for it because it was so big last year. The problem is when things are big in 1 year, like the expectation is for it to be big a second year too. In case you don't know what All Paws Home is, do you want to explain how this crazy idea was last summer, Jess?
Yeah, so we partnered with Barks and we were there for an entire day and we were broadcasting the entire time and basically asking you to open your homes to either adopt or foster an animal. And I think what was really special about that is obviously adoption would be incredible for you to have a new family member, and that's always the goal. But I think sometimes you don't understand how important fostering is as well.
Yeah.
So even if it's just a permanent family member or if it's just a few days, because the fostering really helps because it resets their nervous system in a sense. So if you foster an animal for a couple of days, it gives them a chance to get outside of the kennels and everything like that, open space for more animals to come in. And it's just the entire process has been really cool. And it was really fun for us to be a part of that process of families coming in and meeting different animals and meeting different pets and being there at the end when you guys made your decisions and just being a part of every step of the way. It was really special.
Watching like your families get bigger and like kids get their first pet or second pet or whatever.
It was cool.
Or people that have lost their pets and like bringing a new pet into the family, second chance. It's, I don't know. It was a really, honestly, the day was even more special than we even imagined it being. You know, Barks, the pet shelter here in Maryland, the biggest one, I think their biggest day of pet adoptions before was like 40 or 50 or something like that. I threw out this crazy idea. I was like, what if we did 106? And they were like, no, we're never going to do that. But then you guys showed up and you adopted 100 or fostered 125 pets in one day. I mean, you did even bigger than our crazy idea. So it was just, I don't know. The whole day was so magical. And of course, when magical days happen once, we need to try to make magical days happen once again, right?
Yeah.
The problem with this year is this, is that Barks, the animal shelter here in town, just got slammed, you guys. I don't know if you saw it on the news, but they just had this massive parvo case go through. They've been closed for adoptions and fosters and intakes for the last 2 weeks. So not only were they unable to move any animals in and out, but their resources have been strapped. Mm-hmm. So they, and not only that, but y'all, summer, if we go back to this time last year, they were already in really, just in the summer months, it's tough over there in the first place.
They always hit their limits.
The summers are the worst months for Barks in general. But now it's almost like a critical problem over there because of this parvo outbreak. And so we're really walking into a rough situation. Rough, get it? Because it's dogs. A really rough situation this summer where Barks is kind of looking at us like, hey, do you guys think that you'd be able to pull this off again? And honestly, last year was all fun and games because we didn't know if we could pull off 106. There was no expectations for us to be able to do that. And so if we didn't, it wasn't a big deal. This year, the need is we must pull off 106 adoptions.
Yeah, because it's still fun. Last year was a lot of fun, but we were doing it because we thought it would be obviously helping the community and helping the animals, but it was a fun idea. And this year it's still going to be fun, but unfortunately the stakes are different because they essentially had to shut down,
right?
And that was very detrimental to them.
So listen, you know, and I think last year too, here was my other thought process, because if we sound anxious, it's because, well, I'm anxious because last year too we had a pool of a bunch of people that could have possibly adopted new pets. It's not like people need new pets every year. You know what I mean? I think the pool of people that may need new pets is not going to be the same pool that we were looking for last year. So am I absolutely terrified about it this year? The stakes are higher, and I feel like the people that we're asking is going to be smaller than last year. Mm. So, yeah, I'm anxious going into this year. I'm really, I'm, I, our friends at Barks are looking at us like, hey, you guys can do it again, right? And I'm like, yeah, yeah, sure, we can do this. And now we turn to you guys. I will say this. We've been here for 6 years. We have done crazy things together. I've never lived in a city that has been able to pull off crazier miracles than Baltimore, Maryland.
Yeah.
So all we can do is, starting today, give you guys the information once again and say, hey, Mix, we can we do it once again? And hope that we can pull it off. So let's give it a shot. Jess, All Paws Home, 26. What are we doing?
It's going to be Saturday, July 11th, and we're going to be at Bark. So not only, you know, can you adopt, foster, and rescue, or you can also come and hang out with us. We're going to be there from 10 a.m. to 8 p.m. at Barks in South Baltimore. And we're just hoping, you know, you guys can find it in your hearts to adopt, foster, or rescue. And I think, obviously, adoption, and I think that was the biggest thing, at least for me, that was the first time that I had learned how impactful fostering can be,
right,
and how much that helps the animals as well. Because when you're in there, obviously it's very loud and all the animals are in their kennels and everything like that. And I feel like, unfortunately, there's a lot of animals that get looked over because their personality isn't able to be shown in that kind of environment.
Yeah.
And so even if you're able to open your home for a few days for a few weeks, that can also give them an opportunity to come out of their shell, which helps them find their forever home.
We need animal lovers to come through for this one. Okay, July 11th. It's going to go from 10 a.m. to 8 p.m., basically all day long. It's a 10-hour adoption event. It's going to be the biggest adoption day for the year for Barks, hopefully. 106 pets. Can we get them adopted or fostered? That's going to come down to you guys for this really like critical event. So it's called All Paws Home. Got to send a special thank you out to FH Fur, too. They do plumbing, electrical, AC, and heating as well. They stepped in this year in a big way too, to really help. There's a bunch of people that are stepping up this year because they saw how impactful it was last year. So Thank you to those guys. You can go to our website, mix1065baltimore.com, to get more info. And don't worry, we're going to keep harassing you guys because this is important. But July 11th, All Paws Home over at Barks. We're nervous, but we're excited to pull it off again this year. Okay, if your kid was a real a-hole, would you want your kid's teacher to let you know? Let's put it in that perspective before we find out, did she actually do it? We are going to do right now what we call a talk me out of it update. This is where we check in with people last week that called in and said, hey, I've got a crazy idea. I don't know if I should do this or not. And then we kind of give advice if they should or shouldn't do it. Right. So where were we last week with Anonymous, Jess?
Anonymous made the decision to leave teaching and end her teaching career, but it was all because of one student. She literally said at one point that he was the worst person that she had ever met. And throughout the year, when he was having all these issues, she shared that his mom refused to take accountability and had always said it was never his fault. So she considered actually sending an email and basically telling his mom how she really feels and has felt about the situation.
And it was a pretty brutal email from what we learned last week.
Yeah.
So did she send it? Did she not? Let's get her back on right now. Anonymous, good morning.
Hi, good morning, guys.
So did you end up sending that email to the mom?
So I hit send, guys.
Wow. No.
Any edits are just like as it was?
No, as it was.
Dang, she was ready. All right, dang. And?
So, you know, I was going back and forth still. I kept asking myself if I could walk away from teaching, knowing that I never said what I actually thought.
Dang, okay. No, it's true. It's true. I get it. Like, you got to feel good about it, right?
Right. So with the email, I actually copied the principal, the assistant principal, because I wanted everything documented.
What? Okay.
Wow. So you didn't, okay. You don't want anybody at least to be able to go behind your back.
Right. Like, everyone's in the know.
Well, that damn bold move. Bold move. But hey, at least.
And at this point, you weren't really tripping because you're literally not going to try to teach anywhere else. So you were like, at this point, everyone might as well know.
Wow.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah. So after I sent the email, a few hours later, the mom actually responded to me.
Oh, okay.
You know, I was expecting her to attack me, threaten me, tell me I was bitter and unprofessional.
Yeah.
But surprisingly, guys, instead her response was, you're not the first teacher who said these things.
Oh.
Wow.
Right. So apparently multiple teachers over the years have raised the same exact concerns as me.
Well, as we would expect.
Well, then, like, that confuses me because when you said last week how, like, you guys would bring this up to her and there had been meetings, but every time she would refuse to make her son take accountability.
Yeah, I think it was just, you know, me being brutally honest. So, you know, she admitted in her email that she always believed everyone was being unfair to her son.
Mm.
Yeah, she told me that reading the email did hurt, but it forced her to look at things differently.
Yeah.
I still don't know if sending the email was the right thing to do, but, you know, what's done is done.
Well, yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, that is kind of bizarre because it's almost, I mean, I don't want to say it's like you ganged up on her, but by including everybody from the school on there, it's almost like you had... like reinforcement, you know what I mean? Like at first I'm like, damn, that was kind of risky. But by you having like everybody else on there, it was almost like they had your back in the sense too, you know? I mean, because it is a weird for her to be like so nice about it.
Right. It's all good to have the backing of other people advocating for, you know, what us multiple teachers have been saying.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe her response was what it was, because it's got to be pretty jarring to see someone say, I'm literally leaving this career because of your kid.
That's absolutely true. And I think maybe when you do see it sugarcoated, it's like, okay, well, yeah, like he's this, he's that. But maybe when it's like a bullseye between your eyes and it's like, oh, wow, like my kid's like that bad.
Yeah.
Maybe you almost have to like accept reality for what it is versus being like, okay, well, he's having a bad day or yeah. like, oh, we're going through a rough patch. Like if a teacher's willing to say like, yo, I'm quitting my job because mm-hmm. your kid's like the worst person I've ever met. Like
yeah.
that's, I mean, I'm sure it wasn't an easy email for her to digest.
Well, how do you feel now?
Well, you know, I actually feel for the first time in years, I feel like someone finally heard what we had all been trying to say.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, listen, I hope it didn't like ruin your career. And that's what I feel kind of bad about, that you had to like leave because of it. But, you know, I think it probably pushed you in a different direction for a reason. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I've had a good run, you know, 14 years. Yeah. My reputation has been great. So I think what helped is, too, in my email, I had kind of shined a light on her.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, you know, your son isn't the only person who refuses to take responsibility. Like, he learned it from somewhere, like, ooh. Assuming it was you. So,
oh,
okay.
Yeah.
I wonder how
well,
that's,
it well. Sounds like you are fully ready to close this chapter.
Yeah.
And I wish you the best on whatever you decide to do next.
I don't think it'll be Thank teaching, though. It doesn't sound like teaching is going to be in the future. we appreciate you calling us back and giving us the update. And best of luck in whatever comes next for you.
Thank you so much, guys.
Hey, thanks for listening.
Make sure you subscribe to get the show daily.
And if you think we've earned it, give us 5 stars.
Hear Kramer and Jess live every morning on Mix 106.5 Baltimore.
And check out the Kramer and Jess Uncensored podcast at KramerandJess.com.